Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
All right, praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. We are here another time, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share God's word. Thank God for being able to hear from him, amen, and for confirmation. As I'm listening to the scriptures, I'm actually in Numbers, little bit ahead of what we're doing with the Bible study, but God gave me the scripture, and then I was listening to it this week, and I was like, oh, okay, I know. Like the next day I had to read that, so I'm excited. We're continuing to dig deeper. I think this is going to be the last one unless the Lord tells me something else, but we're digging deeper so we can move closer to God. Amen. We're digging deeper to uproot anything that is not like God in our lives so that we can become more and more like him. That's the main thing. Amen. I was walking out on Wednesday with Brother Philip, and we saw a van go by. It said life change. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's just like new creation. We need to be made new. And that's what this series is about, is, okay, God, look at us. You see what's going on in our lives now. Take out anything that doesn't line up with you so we can be lined up with you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for the time, to God, that we are here today. I pray to God that during this time that you would speak to us your word, oh God, that we would hear your word, and not only hear, but become doers of the word of God in our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let your spirit speak even beyond me. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to talk about This really deals with fear, because, you know, sometimes I believe a lot of times fear keeps us from doing what God has called us to do. Right? Anybody ever had a situation, and I've shared it with you guys last week with my Uber story, when God told me to share the gospel with somebody, and I was like, I don't know these people. You know, like that. What is that? That's called fear. Fear. And guess what? I learned that fear is the opposite of faith. Anytime God tells you to do something, fear is going to be around. So if fear is the opposite of faith, which God gives and God wants us to walk in, fear comes from the devil, right? Now, it's interesting. I do have another Uber story. Last Saturday, after driving, I picked up a brother, and he was just talking about, you know, some of the things that he saw with church people. And he was like, man, how come some people are so scared to talk to other people? He was like, I knew a pastor, and this is what got him in the church. He said there was a pastor that was on the block on the corner with us at night, you know, and he was just sharing the gospel with us, walking with us. And, you know, sometimes we like, hey, that might not be a smart thing to do, because if they're going somewhere, you might be going with them, right? And you know, we were talking about fear, and I was like, you know, there's still wisdom, right? You don't put yourself in dumb predicaments, right? But you cannot let fear keep you bound from sharing the gospel. Now, I say this, there may be times, and this is where we have to keep in mind the scripture, because Jesus was with sinners, but he wasn't doing what the sinners were doing, right? We got to keep that in mind, okay? Because some people are like, yeah, just do whatever they're doing. Jesus wasn't going to the clubs with these people, right? They were coming to his house, right? Jesus ate with them. It wasn't. He didn't say, yeah, let's go party. I'm ready for a new party. I'm Jesus. I'm trying to save them. No, he kept in mind his purpose. And we as a church have to do that. But we cannot allow fear to keep us from sharing the gospel. And we ended up talking about where fear comes from. And the Bible says fear comes from the enemy. Amen. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So we have to not allow really our thinking to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. Amen? And I'm going to say this, fear is a real thing. No, you don't have to say it, but I said I'm going to say it. But fear is a real thing. Monica, you can probably talk about this. The very first time you got up and performed, what happened? You blacked out. Right. The very first time I rapped in front of people, my knees were shaking. They were going like this, and I'm serious, and I was scared. I was at Brother Daryl Bell's house. We were rapping with Ray. We had just wrote a song upstairs while we were while they were doing rehearsal. So we came down and rapped it, and I messed up. I was so scared. After that, I was mad at myself because I messed up. And after that, I was like, I will never let that happen again. So that kind of birthed the career of myself doing music, but you always have fear. I was talking to a young lady at the concert we were at yesterday. She was so scared. It was just like, wow. You know, so I tried to encourage her, like, you know, at the end she did worship and she was really relaxed with it. And I was like, next time start with something you're comfortable with. So, you know, so that fear doesn't grip you, because fear is coming to choke out everything God has given you. Amen. So look, we're going to go to a story. I don't think I've preached on this before, but these are two of my favorite people in the Bible because they are warriors, and I love the warriors in the Bible. But we're going to talk about Joshua and Caleb when they were sent into Canaan, okay? Now, we're going to read Numbers 13 and Numbers 14, the chapters, and I may stop if I need to just highlight some things, but I want us to get this full story. Is that all right? All right, I'm going to go ahead and get it. Go to Numbers chapter 13, if you have your Bible. If not, Michael should have it up there. Appreciate you back there, Mike. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving. Come on, somebody listen to this. Giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. All right. So what do we see here already? We're seeing that God has already given them the land, right? Catch this. And he's sending out the leaders of every tribe, the leaders. Okay. So it says, so Moses went from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all the men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these were the names from the tribe of Reuben, Shammah, the son of Zakkur. You know, he'll get to these names sometimes, man. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphath, and the son of Hori, the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of, I know that name, right? From the tribe of Issachar, Igal. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadel. From the tribe of Joseph, that is the tribe of Manasseh, Gidi, the son of Susi. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, and from the tribe of Asher, Sether, and from the tribe of Naphtali, Naphbi, and from the tribe of Gad, Gil, the son of Machai. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua, okay? So Hoshea is his other name. We see that, right? Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether they are forests there or not. Be of good courage. Now, when I was listening to this, it's almost like he's warning them to be courageous. All right. He's asking them to go look. But then he says, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now, the time was the season for Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So Moses, he was sending them to get him some grapes too. He was like, hey, listen, make sure you give me some grapes on the way back, all right? So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Shimei, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch of one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. So this is some huge grapes, right? They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Okay, now, we always see the 40 days. This means they went and saw everything, okay? Well, you see, this is a completion. 40 is always a number of completion. They completely spied out the land. They did exactly what Moses told them to do. All right? Verse 26 says, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. All right? So this is the good news. Bad news, though, Moses, is nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone with them said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Okay, so let's just be clear real quick. These are the people that came out of Egypt that defeated the mighty Egyptians without a sword. Right? This is their history. So Moses once again told them to be strong, but because of their fear, they said, hey, the land looks good, but we ain't trying to lose our lives. Right? That's a little bit extreme. Like, it'd be cool if we could sneak in and get a few more grapes and figs and stuff like that. Those were great. But I'm not really trying to fight. There's too much going on. Fear. Because guess what? Caleb told them they can go do it. Right? You guys catch that? Caleb said they could. But it says, once again, verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Somebody say a bad report. And it says of the land which they had spied out, saying the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. Now, it's interesting. Anybody seen grasshoppers before? Now, listen, let's be clear. First of all, I don't really think they were as small as grasshoppers to another man, right? Even if you got Shaq in here next to my son, he's still not a grasshopper, okay? But what I will say is this is what happens when you allow fear to come into your mind. You start seeing yourself smaller and smaller. You start saying, oh, man, I don't think I could do it. It's going to be impossible because I'm really not that good. Right? And what begins to happen is you doubt. What begins to happen is you shrink back. Even when you doubt your gifts and your talents, what begins to happen is you look at all your flaws instead of looking at the potential. I remember me, Chaiman, and Marcel, we went to talk to a football team when they were getting ready to go play for their playoff game. And the team they were going to play was way bigger than them. Right? And these kids were like, yeah, they're going to be big. You know, and we're kind of scared. And we were like, you guys don't got to be scared. Just go out and give your all. Play hard. Because if they're big, guess what? You might be faster. But you're not thinking about that. And these guys are not thinking about that. If you're going to go to war, just because somebody's big doesn't mean they're better. Right? Goliath was big, but David might have been way faster than him. Way quicker. Right? I'm pretty sure Goliath threw the javelin at David. And most of the people, if they got that javelin thrown at them, it was over. He might have swung the sword at them, right? But because he didn't look at what he didn't have, he just looked at what he did have, he was able to defeat Goliath. But the children of Israel, the leaders, somebody say the leaders, feared. And if you look at it, there was 13 people that went into the land there was 12 people that went into the land because Joshua and Caleb went, and they were the only two that came with a good report. But because the majority said no, fear entered the camp. Just think about what happens when a leader tells you that it's all bad. Right? You ever listen to somebody that's leading? We don't hear coaches tell people it's just going to be horrible. Right? Even if you know you're going, you don't have a good chance, a good coach does not say, guys, we're just going to lose, just give up. A good coach will try to find some way for you to believe that you're going to win. Right? No matter if you're inferior or not, he's going to find something to encourage you to go and become better than whoever you're facing. But the leaders of Israel invoked fear into the people because of a bad report. Now, how many bad reports have we heard and we've believed because it was somebody that we thought knew or they were leading us? Right? Or you just came up with a bad report yourself. People that have been in debt their whole life, this ain't never going to change. I'm just going to be broke until the day I die. Right? Or maybe you got a little out of shape like me right now, right? I could just be like, I'm just going to be out of shape for the rest of my life. I'm not going to work out. I'm not going to do nothing. You know what that sounds like? I always say this, Eeyore, right? Woe is me. Nothing's good, right? But you say, no, you have to get up. And in this instance, you have to believe. In that instance, they had to believe what God told Moses. Moses told them to be courageous. They didn't be courageous because fear stopped them. Let's read chapter 14 and see what happens. Now, fear is taking a whole nother level. It says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. You guys see that? Because of this bad report, let's be real for a second. This is the moment that Moses took the people out of Egypt to come to this land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land with some great clusters of grapes, right? They're there, and I'm going to just put it in our lives. There might be places where you were supposed to go, but you got there, and it didn't look the way you thought it was going to look. Or it wasn't as easy to get there, but you're there. But you take a back seat and be like, God, maybe this is not, Wait, well, oh God, I know you don't want that for me. Because, I mean, your road is going to be easy. I'm not going to have any trouble following God. Who says that kind of stuff? That's not what the Bible says. Right? The Bible says everybody that follows Jesus is going to face some kind of trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if we follow in Christ's footsteps, we can overcome as well. But we see fear caused them to lift up their voices, and it says, and they cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel, this is what happens when fear hits you. You start to complain. Man, fear came, they started crying and complaining against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if we had died in the land of Egypt. Now, listen, I keep hearing this. Like, why? I don't get it. I don't know if the Israelites just had a... I get it now. Fear causes you to think that suicide is okay. Because that's what they're saying. If we just died, fear causes you to think that you'll be better off dead. Now, I don't know how you'll be better off dead, right? But that's what they are saying. If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had died in this wilderness, we'd be better off. And guess what? These people kept on saying this. As you read Exodus, we read Leviticus, and now we're in Numbers. They keep on complaining and said it would have been better for us to die out in Egypt. But remember, when they were in bondage, they were crying out to God, set us free. Right? But guess what? Freedom doesn't just always come just easy. Freedom's going to come with a fight. You want your mind to be free, don't just think it's going to happen. You're going to have to fight your thoughts with the word of God. Amen? You're going to have to fight even things other people say to you, not with your fists always. Right? But how many have somebody told you negativity and you believed it? Right? Oh, you're dumb. We've heard that before. You're never going to be amount to nothing. We've heard that before. But some people hear that and say, I'm going to turn that into fuel. And I'm going to do it just because they said I couldn't do it. Right? I remember one of my teachers was like, I was like, yeah, one day I'm going to get a Bentley. He was like, you'll never get a Bentley. Now, listen, let me clarify something. I don't want a Bentley now, right? But I will never allow that word to stop me from getting one if I wanted one. Now I want a Tesla, right? And they're about the same price. These Teslas don't have gas, and that's really what I'm trying to get. Okay? But Michael's shaking his head back there like, no, listen, no gas payments is great, especially if you're going to pay that much money for a car. But anyway, what happens is sometimes people say things to us and we listen to it and it keeps us bound. Then we can't see with clarity what God wants for us because we have allowed that word, that bad report, to cause fear upon our lives. And now we cry and complain and wish we were somebody else. Huh? It happens. Verse 3 says, why has the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Now, what is Egypt? Bondage, slavery, fear. Now, you know what this is reminds me of? My dad calls it, what does he call it, Mom? Euphoric recall. He calls it euphoric recall, where you just remember the good of the bondage you were in. Somebody that wants to go back to how he used to live, but all he remembers is the good times that he had and didn't remember all of the misery and the pain that it brought. You want to go back and get beaten starved, go back to creating bricks without straw, right? The very thing that you asked God to deliver you from, they want to go back. Because of a bad report, because somebody was led by fear. You guys catching this? This is what fear does. We know people that were living for the Lord at one time, and they go back to the world. Why? Because of fear. They heard a word and was like, man, I don't think I could do it. And guess what? Verse 4 is funny. Because they're looking for a leader to lead them back to bondage. A leader to lead them back to condemnation. And guess what? I believe there's people that are looking for that today. Let me just go to it. You know, I would love to go to this church here. Oh, this church is just leading me into condemnation. But I like it. Right? Why? Because fear. Fear causes these things. Faith doesn't. Faith, when you have faith, you're going to look at the situation and say, all right, let's go get it done. All right, they got giants. Okay. But this is why we left Egypt. Let's remember what faith does is let us remember all the things that God has done. When we were in the wilderness and we didn't have nothing to eat, God brought manna, right? We complained a little bit more. Somebody should have been telling them this. Listen, we complained a little bit more. We said, we're tired of manna. It would be great if we had some kind of meat. God allowed quail to somehow fly all the way over from the water, right, into the wilderness and fall right here where you can pick them up. And it said they had their full of it, right? Then, oh, man, if we could just have something to drink. Moses, where you at? I mean, dang, you made the Red Sea split, but we don't got any water. You killed Egypt, the Egyptians without. We see God in front of us and behind. Like, that's what faith will do. But instead of allowing faith to bring in remembrance of what God has done, fear brings into remembrance of bondage. The good bondage, which there is no good bondage. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Verse 6 says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of, Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Listen to this, verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord, because that's really what they're doing. Fear is causing a rebellion against what God wants them to do, because what is beginning to happen is fear is causing them to shift their course. Right? Then it says, nor fear the people of this land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. All right? Now, I believe that this is a word from God that God sent through Joshua and Caleb. But check this out. Check this out. God's word comes, and the next verse they say, and all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before the children of Israel. So they were spared because God's glory came. But the Israelites were ready to kill Joshua and Caleb because they didn't succumb to fear. And isn't that what happens? When everybody around you is speaking fear, speaking fear, and you speak faith, they're going to tell you you're the one that got a problem. you're the one that is dumb. You're the one. What are you thinking? Like, and guess what? We're in a world that's like that right now. Check it out. Let me show you how. Everybody can share exactly how they feel. They can share how they want to live. They can share what in their hearts is right and what's wrong. But if a Christian does it, oh, you're closed-minded. You believe that ancient Bible? You're a follower of Jesus? Right? You're so narrow-minded. No, our mind is opened. Right? But fear has blinded the minds of people from who God is. And we see the same thing here. So instead of accepting God's word, they wanted to kill the very messengers of God's word. We're going to read the rest of this chapter because we're going to see what happens when people follow leaders that lead them in the path of fear. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. All right, so God is fired up right now. He's upset. This is how God looks at fear, and we got to catch this. Anytime we are operating in fear, this is how God looks at it. He is not excited when he tells you to do something and you make up some kind of excuse on why you should not do it. Right? And it doesn't matter how logical it is. If God tells you to go pray for somebody, just go do it. But sometimes we, oh man, I don't know. They might not even really need prayer. Right? When I went to the event a couple weeks ago to Portland, I asked people for prayer and some people didn't come up, but I knew, I felt it already in my heart who I needed to go pray for. Now, if I didn't be obedient, they would have never got prayed for. But the Spirit of God put that on my heart. The Spirit of God should be putting things on your heart that will cause you to be uncomfortable. Because Christianity is not, oh, let me get my lazy boy and just sit back. Let me catch the beach. Let me get a tan. That's not what Christianity is all about. I'm saved, and yeah, everything's going to be great. No, there's going to be challenges. The disciples went from town to town sharing the gospel, and some places didn't want to hear it, right? There's going to be people that you may share something to that they don't want to hear it. But you being obedient is what God wants, not what they want. I heard a quick sermonette on a podcast, and a pastor was talking about how in some churches, people just want to get you to hoop and holler. They just want to see you hoop and holler, and that's all that matters to them. And he said, God might not be hooping and hollering, right? And he said, if you share a message that God shared for you to share, and even if the people are all asleep in the building, if God is pleased, you should be happy. So you look, and I'm not telling everybody sleep is a good thing, right? But if you are sharing the word of God and you're not getting a lot of hoops and ha's and yeah and jumping up and down, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Because sometimes that's a distraction. Sometimes it's not, but sometimes it is. I've been to some church services and all they want to do is get you to hoop and holler. So by the time they get done preaching, you're like, what the heck did he say? What was the whole theme of the message? Oh, God will bless you. That's it? What you mean? That's you didn't give me any kind of anything. I could go anywhere and share a message like that. But guess what? When you start sharing the real word of God, people get quiet. I've noticed that. People, yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You say something that hits them, so it gets quiet as a mouse. Right? Because God is working on people. And when he's working on people, it's like in surgery. People are not in surgery shouting up and down. Right, Monica? You work at a hospital. People are not jumping up and down while they're getting worked on. If they are, what do? They put them to sleep so they can get the work done, the right work done. So let us look to please God and not worry about everybody else. Share what God puts on your heart. What verse am I on right now? Verse 13, it says, and Moses said, after God was upset, and Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people out up from among them, and they will tell it to their inhabitants of the land that they have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring his people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. Pardon, verse 19, pardon the iniquity of this people. I pray according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Now, what we see here is Moses interceding to keep God from destroying these people. Catch this. Fear caused a rift in the relationship so much that God wanted to destroy them. But faith, Moses praying this, saying, I know that if I pray and remind God of who he is, he's going to save them. So we see what happens. But then verse 20 says, this is, now check this out. For every time you walk in fear, you can be forgiven. But, somebody say, but, there may be consequences. See, we're forgiven of sin, but there's still consequences to sin. I always say this because sometimes people think, oh, God, forgive me, and I'm not going to have to do anything. I'm not even going to be held accountable. You might not, but it's very likely there will be a consequence. It says, verse 20, then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because of these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who reject me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he was a different spirit, let me read that again. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and he has followed me fully. That should be our testimony. There's a different spirit within us and we follow him fully. He says, I will bring into the land where he went and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow I'll turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. So what we see is the door was shut. The door God opened was closed because of what? Fear. Some of us got doors that we're asking God to open up, and he opens them, but we don't go through them because of fear. He might have told you, do this. But you're like, I don't know if it's going to work, God. Man, I still haven't tested it. You know, I need, when God tells you to do it, he doesn't care about all of that stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. Learn about what you're going to do. But sometimes you're not going to have all the wisdom about it. I remember a story from Pastor Nate. And in this story, he was just talking about he needed some jobs. He needed a job. So he got on his bike and the Spirit told him to go to a certain area. He got there, and there's a man sitting in the park, and God told him to go sit by this man. And the man was just like, man, I got all these apartments that need to be pressure washed, and I don't know who I'm gonna hire to do it. Pastor Nate's there. He's like, oh, well, what you need? I could do the job. What does it entail? He doesn't even know how to do this. But God sent him there. He gets there. And they're like, yeah, you could do it. Oh, how much is it going to get paid? Oh, that? Okay, yeah, I can definitely do it. But he goes home and he says, I have no clue what I'm supposed to do. But guess what? If God tells you to do something, I believe that God is powerful enough to tell you how to do it. And I'm a testimony of what God did, because I worked for Pastor Nate in that same business. God showed him how to create different chemicals to clean buildings easier than what other people did, because he was obedient to God. Amen. I'm gonna go ahead and read the rest of this chapter. I'm going to just go ahead and read through it. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard their complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who are numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. So what he's telling you right now is he's about to shut it down. Okay? It says, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year. Dang, right? This is how the 40 years started. Because they went to this land for 40 days, and fear caused them to end up dying, not accepting the land that God had for them, and they had to travel in the wilderness for 40 years. Man. And then it says, and you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and they shall die. Now imagine Moses having to go share that message. Golly. I guarantee they weren't jumping up and down, right? They weren't excited. Yes, it's the word of God. Hallelujah. No, because fear created this fiasco. Verse 36 says, now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. Then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people greatly mourned. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are before you, and you shall fall by sword because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you. All right? That's the word of God. But Moses don't know what he's talking about. Right? I don't get this. This keeps on happening in the wilderness. Moses tells them something from God. They don't listen. And let's see what happens. But they presumed to go out up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. And then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in the mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah. So what happened is there was people destroyed because they presumed to do something that God told them not to do. Now, guess what? Some people might say, well, they weren't being led by fear. Well, guess what? They were led by fear because they were diverted to go another way because they didn't obey God in the first place. Now, guess what? Like I said, some people are led by fear. Well, we're going to go back this way. Why? Because we're not going that way. That way is just too bad. But God wants us not to operate in the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. If we dig deeper and understand the word that God has for us, even look at the things that God has done in our life, we can say we know that we are able to do it because God is with us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. So when fear comes to you, you can tell fear, no, I have faith. There's no room for you in my life. Amen. Dear God, I just thank you, dear God, for your word. I pray, dear God, that we would all walk in faith and not fear, dear God. We pray, dear God, that your word will be remembered in our hearts, that we hear it and walk in it. Dear God, that we remember your promises and we remember your strength, oh God. There's no God like you, God, so we pray, dear God, that we walk in faith and not fear. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.